This is a recreation of the installment of the six-part series known as Glowing and Growing from the Light of the Menorah. This particular class was given on Tuesday night at 9:15, and because of several noisy interruptions, it's being retaped for upload to the internet. What I'd like to address in this particular section is something relatively new, and in order to discuss it, I want to remind everyone about the context of this series. This series is different than a typical Yom Tov-related presentation in the sense that the goal is not to develop new insights into the depth and profundity of the holiday, but rather to develop a practical practices that would help a person actually develop himself or herself in such a way that Hanukkah affects him or her, and a person leaves the holiday feeling that they actually focused on some of the themes of the holiday and applied them in their lives in a way that changed them and changed their relationship to Hashem. Hanukkah, of all the Yomim Tovim, is a very difficult one to observe because there are no restrictions on work, no restrictions on driving, phone call, routines are the same, and other than the few minutes of lighting the menorah and perhaps a Hanukkah party, which may or may not have any spiritual dimension to it, and a few minutes of Hallel during Shacharis services each morning, there's very little that really helps us become absorbed into the spirit of the Yom Tov, and certainly very little that guides us as to how to apply ourselves spiritually so that we can develop ourselves as better servants of Hashem through the prism of Hanukkah. So the goal of this series is to provide practical assignments and exercises using different perspectives on Hanukkah. Tonight I want to speak about the issue of Ma'ariv and its relationship to Hanukkah. The tefillah, the daily, nightly prayer known as Ma'ariv, the evening service, and its relationship to Hanukkah. We could sense just from looking superficially at the holiday of Hanukkah that there would be a relationship between Hanukkah and Ma'ariv, in the sense that Hanukkah is this festival during which we kindle a menorah at night. So we have this light pushing back the darkness. And Ma'ariv is this prayer, this connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is specifically offered during the night. So on the very surface of it, we begin to see some relationship between Hanukkah and Ma'ariv. But the truth is that that relationship is much more profound. For example, it could be demonstrated that Hanukkah is a holiday that very much relates to the koach, the spiritual energy and force of Yaakov Avinu, our forefather Yaakov. To wit, according to our understanding, Yaakov passes away on the 15th day of Tishrei, which is the first day of Sukkot. And we do know from the Chumash that there was a 70-day gap between his passing and his internment in the Ma'arat HaMachpelah in Hebron. And if you take 70 days from the 15th of Tishrei forward, you end up with Erev Hanukkah. So Yaakov ends up being buried right there in Ma'arat HaMachpelah on Hanukkah. We have a tradition that the Koach HaNeshama, the power of the spirit of a tzaddik, is available to the world when the tzaddik leaves the world. At the Petira, at the passing of a tzaddik, his Kochas HaNefesh are available to be absorbed to others. That's one of the reasons that there's a certain intense interest in being present at a funeral because of a tzaddik, because people want to be able to relate to and absorb the spiritual energy and force that guided the life of the tzaddik. So Yaakov passes away on Sukkot, and he's buried, which is a completion of his passing, so to speak, when his neshama moves on. He's buried Hanukkah time, And that alone gives us some connect, tells us that there's a Yaakov dimension to Hanukkah. His energy is available, so to speak, during this period of time. But it's more than that. We know that the various, the three services, Shacharis, Mincha, and Maariv, were established by the Avos. The Gemara says, Tfilos Avos Tiknum, that the Tfilos were established by the forefathers. Avraham establishing Shacharis, Yitzchak establishing Mincha, Yaakov establishing Maariv. There are three points in the Torah where we find the forefathers offering prayer, and in each case, the prayers are offered in coordination with a period of time, with Avraham with the morning, with Yitzchak with the afternoon or evening, and with Yaakov at night. Yaakov, therefore, is associated with Maariv. We also have a parallel understanding of the background to the various tefillos that are offered each day from the Gemara that says that they correspond to the karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash, to the sacrifices in the Beis HaMikdash. We know that Shacharis is designed to correspond to the Olas Tamid HaBoker, to the daily eternal offering which was offered every single day in the morning, and Mincha is designed to correspond to the Tamid Shelbein HaRabayim, the daily eternal sacrifice which was to be offered in the afternoon. And Maariv is designed to correspond not to a specific sacrifice, but to the general practice which was followed in the Beis HaMikdash, in which the Evarim Upadarim, the limbs and other animal parts of sacrifices that were put on the altar during the day in fulfillment of various obligations, were consumed by the fire all through the night. The Torah requires that the altar always have a fire burning on it. Esh tamid tukad al hamizbeach lo sechbeh. You shall have an eternal flame kindled on the altar, it shall never go out. And the way that that was maintained was mostly through the ongoing combustion, if you will, or consuming by fire of the various parts of the sacrifices which were not totally accomplished during the day. So Maariv is designed to correspond to the Mizbeach, to the altar, continuing to do its work, so to speak, by consuming those parts of the animal sacrifices which had to be consumed by fire. And this was done throughout the course of the night. Now what's amazing is that we also have the concept of an eternal flame regarding the menorah. It says that the menorah is also Bahaloschan Ner Tamid. It's an eternal flame, and the sages say that Af Eshel Menorah, even the fire of the menorah, came from the eternal flame on the outer altar, the Mizbeach HaChitzon, this altar that we're discussing, that had a flame kindled all night. So the flame from the menorah came from the flame of the Mizbeach. If indeed Maariv corresponds to the fire that was burning on the altar, and the menorah gets its flame, so to speak, from that, we see a very strong connection between Maariv and the light of the menorah. There are other connections as well, but this should suffice for us to appreciate that the power of Yaakov, who is the one who establishes Maariv, is found and available on Hanukkah. Let's understand what Yaakov's Maariv means. So here's Yaakov, pushed into exile, chased by Esav, desperate, alone, impoverished, and not knowing what's going to be, and concerned that he has no longer deserves the promises that he has received from God. So the Torah records that Vayifka b'makom v'yolen sham kiva hashemesh. He encountered the place, or had an encounter, or had a pagia, which is one term that is assigned for davening, for praying, for encountering God, for having an encounter with God. It's Vayifka, pagia. So he had this prayer encounter with God in the place. Why? Because the sun had set. And we know, according to tradition, that the Almighty caused the sun to set quicker to force Yaakov to pray in that particular place, which happens to be the place of the Mizbeach, the place of the Beis HaMikdash. So Yaakov is now alone at night, and he's davening. Why is he davening? Why is he alone there at night? Because that's where the HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it be dark there. So Yaakov specializes in the modality of prayer which is offered by a Jew in the darkness of night, in the aloneness of night, in the cold temperature of night, when he doubts himself, he doubts his connection to Hashem, he doubts that Hashem is supervising him, he lacks evidence for that, doesn't have the brilliant light of the morning or even of the afternoon to show him God's hand, and he has questions of faith. So it is at times like that that a Maariv is offered, and Yaakov Avinu specializes in offering that prayer. So there are two ways of understanding that. One way would simply be to say that the prayer of Maariv is offered in spite of doubt, in spite of the feeling of God not being present. Another way, however, to understand it would be that the prayer of Maariv is offered because of the doubt, which means that an individual uses the perceived distance and the perceived trauma and challenge that he's experiencing in his relationship with God or in his relationship with serving God. He uses that actually as leverage to create an Esh Tamid, an eternal fire which is burning throughout the night. There's a passage in Tehillim that says, Ki Eshev Bachushach Hashem Orli, when I sit in the darkness, God is my light. So there too, we could say that David is saying, David HaMelech is simply saying, that when I'm in darkness, my source of light, my flashlight, my light bulb, is the Almighty. Or we could say, more profoundly, that when is God the light for me? When I sit in the darkness, which means that I am aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and I am capable of feeling His brilliance and His light and His warmth and His love when I sit in the darkness and when I initially experience areas of my life which seem distant and detached from God, and then insist on serving God through that, that's when Hashem will be light for me. So the darkness actually is a source of the impetus to discover the light of God. And that really is a way of looking at Maariv. Now, when we talk about Maariv, we can talk about it technically and we can talk about it symbolically, for lack of a better word. Technically, we're talking about the prayer service called Maariv, which is the offering of Kriyas Shema, the nighttime Shema, surrounded by blessings which introduce it and which link it to the Shemona Esrei, and the Shemona Esrei itself. That's the simple format of Maariv. It's important for a person to know that when we're offering Maariv, Maariv is a certain attitude. Maariv is saying, I'm talking to you now during a different modality, in a different way than I'm talking to you, oh God, in the morning. And Hanukkah is a time when we are aware that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in His holiness and in His majesty, is able to and willing to radiate light and holiness into an otherwise dark world. So, on Hanukkah, we actually could focus our attention on Maariv and realize that Maariv is a time that deserves its own attention. It's not simply a short little prayer that we just come in, we do, we offer, and we leave. Sit down in our living rooms, offer a short Maariv, but it's actually something that deserves its own attention and its own particular investment. But symbolically, Maariv is actually an attitude, and it doesn't depend on nighttime. A person can daven Maariv during the day, meaning a person can be, as we spoke in another context about Hallel and Hodah, thank you and acknowledgement, a person can be Maariv walking around. And that means that a person recognizes that in areas of weakness in his relationship with God, or areas of doubt about whether or not God cares, or areas of doubt about whether or not He cares, or in areas of failure where a person consistently violates his understanding of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Let's say, for example, for men particularly, a person gazes at things that he shouldn't, or fantasizes about things that he should not be fantasizing about. And very often people experience this as overwhelming and hopeless, and they feel that there's nothing to do about it. Well, Maariv would be to take that particular aspect of one's life and put it on the altar, which means to bring any amount of self-control possible and offer that as a form of a sacrifice to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Ma'ariv sacrifice, the limbs of the animal being consumed by the fire at night. Now the Sfas Emes makes a beautiful point about fire. There are two aspects to fire. There's the fuel and there's the radiance, the warmth and the light that comes from the fuel being consumed. In order to have warmth and radiance, you have to have the wick or the fuel, whatever it is, the oil or the wood on the altar, the oil in the menorah. When it's consumed by the fire, it produces light and heat. So the Sfas Emes says that that's the same thing in the realm of spirituality. In the realm of spirituality, if you want to have closeness to God, if you want to have passion, if you want to have a feeling of love, if you want to have God's love and you want to be present to the love that you have for Hashem, the way to do that is to actually burn something. You need fuel. The fuel is specifically those areas that don't come naturally to you in your expression of devotion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So for example, if a person has a hard time concentrating during davening, and he has already fallen into the habit of simply uttering the words without any attention, or without being aware that he's in God's presence, the person brings himself into the battle for Kavanah by saying, okay, I'm going to focus my attention on one paragraph for 5 seconds. Those 5 seconds are the fuel that will create the combustion that will then provide the light and the heat. Moments of self-control, where a person actually turns away from indulging a passion that he has that's inappropriate, or indulging laziness, or a person gets out of bed 5 seconds earlier to do a mitzvah in the morning than he otherwise would. Those 5 seconds are the fuel that will provide the light and the heat for his connection to God. So that's a form of davening ma'ariv. So on Hanukkah, when we light the menorah and we bring into the world this unbelievable light, this hidden light that is really the brilliant light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu waiting to radiate into a world that otherwise is filled with darkness that would obscure his presence, we can see that being a offering of ma'ariv is part of the service of Hanukkah itself. So if a person wants to take something out of Hanukkah, what he can do is actually apply himself and imagine where in his life he can daven ma'ariv. Where is his faith lacking? Where has he given up on getting any help from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Where does he think that God has abandoned him? Where does he think that he himself has abandoned his religious life in particular areas? And those are the areas, particularly, that seem not to be yielding any fruit, where he seems to be avoiding it, where he figures that that's not what I'm good at, I'll let somebody else specialize on that. Those areas he can put on the altar and bring himself in a form of self-sacrifice, and in that sense he'd be offering ma'ariv. And if we do that kind of a thing, we ourselves will have the experience of being a beacon of light to the whole world. The passage says in Shir HaShirim, Ani Yashena V'Libi Er, I'm sleeping, but my heart is aroused. We have inside of us the passion and the love and the connection to Hashem, but very often, in order to arouse it, we have to get out of our own sleep. There's a passage that indicates that at the time, the Medrash interprets a passage in Shir HaShirim, that at the end of time, as the Jewish people returns to Israel, there'll be a mountain on the border between the diaspora and Israel called Har Amana, the mountain of faith, and the Medrash relates that the Jewish people will sing a powerful song to Hashem on that mountain. And some interpret that to mean that the Jewish people, at the end of the long exile where we had to exist through the night, the Jewish people will recognize that every moment of devotion and connection to God, every moment of hanging on, every moment of insistence that even in the darkness of night we will find God, that we will bring Kedusha, sanctity into the world when the world is not even asking for it. Every one of those moments had meaning and led to the coming of Mashiach. And therefore, the Jewish people will pause one moment extra before they come back into Israel and say, we understand the beauty of faith, the beauty of serving you, even when it's not so obvious and when it's not so easy. So, That is exactly what's going on Hanukkah. When we say in the days Bayamim Hahem Bazman Hazeh that you perform miracles in those days at this time, what we're saying to God is that this is a period of time when the power of finding you in the darkness is still available. And this is what ultimately will bring the redemption. Happy Hanukkah.